Father, we thank you for this time we have together, a prayer that we've all heard, a prayer that many of us know may have become unfamiliar. So be with us as we draw near. Be with us as we go back again over familiar territory, and that maybe you will dislodge a gem, that you'll refocus us going forward as a community of faith, that you'll give us that hope that surpasses all understanding. Be with us now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you heard the Lord's Prayer before? I hope everyone has heard it in one form or another this morning. Let me read it to you. Pater hemon, ho en tois uranois, agias theto to somo su, eletheto he basileia su, gene theto, to thelema su, hos in urano, kai epitesges, ton arton hemon ton epiusion dos hemen semeron, kai athes hemen, ta ophelemata hemon, hos kai hemes athe kamen, tois ophiletais hemon, kai me es enegres hemas, eis perasmon alla hrusai hemas, apo tu poneru. A little different, right? That's the language that Matthew wrote it in, the Greek. It's something that we have owned on our own, but some way today I want it to dislodge it. To realize this isn't just something you memorize, maybe for some of you the only scripture you memorized. I've asked before people, do you know any scripture? No. Our Father, and they say it, I'm like, well, you do, Matthew 6. It's something we know, but maybe we know so well. It's been like that we pass way to where we're going. You know it, you could describe it, but you don't know anything about it, and it's not significant to you until you hear the story of who lived there. You hear what happened there and how it transformed your community. And from that point forward, every time you drive by, you have awe. Or maybe to the annoyance of your family, every time you drive by, you tell the story again. They're like, we heard that the last four times. But there's truths like that in this world that we need to keep before us, to not make them ours, mine, but ours, the world, and realize there's something we all participate in. Maybe for some of you, these were truths as a kid that you fought against. Brush your teeth. Make your bed. Take vitamins. Take out your contacts. Or maybe they're truths we still kick against as adults. Wear a mask. Pick up trash. Pay your taxes, shower. Depending on where you're at in your life, there's these things we know that are good for us, but yet we're like, I know it's good. I don't need to do it. But like Pastor Jen last week, keep ordering things and make our way, but we don't actually do it. How do we ever know the truth therein? Now, as a parent, I get frustrated whenever my kids don't tune into these things. Right? I just can't understand, why is it that making your bed is so hard? Or why is it putting your things away or brush your teeth, fill in the blank? And I get so frustrated, but do I remember? Do I remember? Do I put together again where I was when I was a kid and what I cared about? Because the reality is, if you talk to my mom, my brothers, my teachers, you'll find a history of me not paying attention to anyone. I had my nose in a book, and I literally could not hear them. I would be reading, and the teacher would be coming, and my class would be, Joseph, put it down, put it down. And without fail, the teacher would put it down and I'd get detention. I couldn't tune in to those things that were important because I was in to what I cared about. Sometimes it was good, many times it was not. But the reality is, if we pay attention to what we are tuning into, we realize we learn better, that we know more, that we change the course of what we're doing. At family camp, it was awesome to see people light up when they got to shoot the bow and arrow, when they got to throw the hatchet or climb the wall. People pay attention a little bit differently because it matters. It matters whether you turn and shoot someone. It matters whether you fall if you will be caught. And so we pay attention to those things that we get honed in on in life. Growing up, I remember paying attention to coaches. I remember paying attention to family members who taught me things. Didn't just tell me about it, though I listened at times. Or when my dad would take me hunting, picking up things, and hearing him say, "You can't move no matter what fast," and not really knowing that was true until I moved really fast when I shouldn't have. Or my mom teaching me about how school really works because she was a brilliant teacher. And not really understanding how it really worked until I saw other people not doing it and failing. And seeing that these truths became new the second time I drove around them. And my question for us as parents, are we still like this? Are we able to hold this in our mind? As maddening as it is, do I step outside of my righteous indignation when my children don't listen and try to remember, what are they tuning into? Are they tuning into my anger and they don't want anything to do with it? Are they tuning in to somebody who is just on his phone, not doing anything, telling somebody who is already doing something to do more? Do they even know why it's important to have this area clean? How do I meet them where they're at and what's going on? I remember as a kid, I loved going to parties. And at parties, it was about me, how much soda I could get and sneak away from my parents, how much chocolate I could have, how much fun I could run with everyone else, playing ball, whatever else, and extending at least 5 more minutes, Mom. And a half hour later, 5 more minutes. And then growing up and realizing the beauty of that time together was the time together. That as you grow up and family spread and friends move away, you just yearn to occupy space together. And that the significance of parties wasn't about me, but the we. That we had a time to be together. That we could be those people. I think there's something playing online up there, if you want to get that for the people online. In the 3rd century, there was a parent who became aware. Her name was Monica. Her child was a wayward soul, out there indulging in the flesh, a brilliant teacher and politician and going around teacher, but just constantly wrecking his life. And she kept telling him about the God she knew. She kept telling him, but he kept getting frustrated and kicking against it. Until she realized one day, broken in her heart, tears streaming, to go to God and to begin to tell her God more about her son than telling her son more about her God. And she carried her tears with her for years. In fact, there was a priest who said, "You have nothing to concern about. Any child of tears that is yours, their hearts will change because you are breaking for them." And sure enough, Augustine, in his confessions, defined himself as a child of my mother's tears. Because her heart was so broken that he was drawn into that brokenness and through that into the wonderful world of a God who taught him so much. The truth is, our world is crazy and always changing. So those things that anchor us into the reality, into the centered nature of God, are things we should not take lightly. And this prayer is one of those daily tuning forks, those things we can turn to keep us, to grab hold of when all the world is changing, that allows us to remember who God is and where we are in the midst of it. Remember, Jesus' disciples, when they saw Jesus, they dropped their nets and they followed him. But even after being with him for a time, they took him aside. Luke 11 records it this way. One day while Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.'" It sounds a little different, but the same rhythm, the same movements are there. Jesus prayed in such a way that people came to him and said, "I want to know how to do that. I've seen you get away on the mountains and you came back and you healed people. I've seen you go away and come back, and though people wanted to give you the whole world, the mob was on your side, you walked away to get back in touch with the power of the Father. Give me that." And so he gives us this Lord's Prayer. John Wesley said of it, "The Lord's Prayer has dictated to us a most perfect and universal form of prayer. It comprehends all our real wants, expresses all our lawful desires, a complete directory and full exercise of all our devotions. He here directs us to pray for these things, sometimes in these words, at least in this manner." It's a prayer that has stemmed the history of the church. The earliest recording of this prayer was in the first century after Jesus, within 100 years of his death. The Didache says this about the prayer. It says, "You shall not pray like the hypocrites, but like the Lord commanded in his gospel. In this manner you shall pray. Our Father who is in heaven, your name shall be made holy. Your kingdom shall come. Your will shall come to be as in heaven and upon earth. You shall give to us our bread for our need today. And you shall forgive us our debt, as also we are forgiving our debtors. And may you not bring us into a trial, but you shall rescue us from the wicked one, since it is your might and glory into the ages. You shall pray three times of the day in this manner." How many of us bristle at that last one, right? How many of us bristle? But we don't forget to eat three times a day, at least many of us, right? We don't forget to drive on the right side of the road, or left if you're viewing this internationally. There's certain things about life that we remind ourselves. We don't yell at every stop sign, though some of us might. Our speed limits. We don't yell about brushing our teeth anymore, though some of us might. I acknowledge we're not all of one mind on these things. But there's so many things in our life that we put in rigidity because it's important. So why not pray a prayer like this three times a day? To recenter yourself, to refocus yourself, maybe 12 times a day. However it is, you need to be connected to God the Father who wants to reach out to us. Pastor Jen talked last week about our posture isn't as important as that we show up and sacrifice, that we're willing to be present to what God will put on our heart. And so I invite you to listen again. I have this great book of all the ways the world's Lord's Prayer is printed around the world, because it's a prayer that we all prayed, over 2 billion of us. You are connected to them. This isn't just your personal journey. It is God inviting us all to this. In the Hebrew, it says, "Abinu sheba shalom, yekadesh shemocho, toba malchutcho, yahi rizanecho, ka'asher basho mayim wachen ba'ares, lacham kuchino, ten lanu hayom, uslach lanu, et choboth enu, ka'asher anachnu, so lechem leba'ale choboth enu, ve'al tebienu le'naso, kiyom, hazil enu min horo'o, ki le'echo ha mamlocho, va'hagvura, va'ha tiferes le'olam olamim amen." Do you hear the pattern, the rhythm? If you speak Hebrew, you know I butchered the pronunciation. But think about it. Our Father. Father, a term that Jesus, if you read the book of John, gets lambasted for. How dare you call God Father? Someone's distant and far away that we need a sacrifice to get to. Jesus invites us into this intimate relationship. Our, Not mine, not yours, our. It's a global endeavor. It's ours. God is reaching out to all people. George MacDonald, the author of the 18th century, or 19th century, the 1800s, wrote a book called At the Back of the North Wind. And in it, he says, someone is ours based on whether we love them. It is our mother, our sibling. The love is what brings that nature together. And so if God is yours, you love him. And he is reaching out to all people. Who art in heaven. In other words, it's not a God that you can make up on your own. There is a locus for God. Heaven, not just some distant reality. There are three words for heaven. Heaven, the space around us where God reigns. Karl Barth said that, I've never made a God that I did not like. This is the God, whether you like him or not, the one in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed, to praise and to be holy. Do you praise God? If you say this prayer, it will change your life. Be careful. Hallowed, praise, holy, other. We talked about this summer about the bleach, the agent of change. Are you inviting that into your life as you draw near to a holy God? Are you trying to get right? Thy name. The Jewish people don't even say the tetragrammaton because it's so weighty. They say Hashem, or the name, right? Are we keeping God's name weighty each day? And even when we look around, are we keeping each other's names weighty? How do we use one another's name? Kingdom come, thy will be done. And again, it's not my kingdom or your queendom. Remember that we all have an area which we rule. For some of us, it's only in our heads. For some of us, it's our bedroom. For some of us, it's just when we're in the car between 8:30 and 9 on the way to work. For some of us, it's a bit broader. But for all of us, when we say yes to God, we're saying your kingdom, not mine. Thy will be done. Not my will, not even someone who's really smart or someone who leads or who has a great political opinion, but thy will be done. In other words, what happens? My desires and other things need to be transformed whenever I say this prayer. On earth as it is in heaven. Again, on earth, not just here in my house. Lord, and say the Lord's Prayer to get rid of my neighbor. No, it's what is good, thy will for all of this. It's a global endeavor. Right? When we say this prayer, we let go of deciding for us whether it's better for America to have Trump or Biden. About whether the SCOTUS pick is the most important thing for our lives. They're very important conversations, and please keep having them. But when we say this prayer, we enter a space where we get beyond. We get at that level ground all people can get at that doesn't divide. It is an inviting prayer as we draw closer to God and let his reign be here on earth as it is in heaven, wherever God is. Give us. Again, there's that uncanny word in there, that me to we that we don't like to acknowledge when we pray it. It's give us. It's not give me that car I want, though that's a prayer I often offer. It's give us. We are a community of followers. We are a community. And there's something about what God gives that is not mine, that I return back, that I give out. Give us our daily bread. Daily. Daily. Not God, give us the keys to for the next week. Give a posture. Not God, acknowledge how I did a great job at that work and made all that money. So that I can buy the really nice loaf of bread. It's give. Daily sustenance. In the Greek, the word for bread is a loaf of bread. So there's something about if God gives us a loaf of bread and it's us, I can't just eat it. I have to break it and share it. I have to be in a posture with my community. And you're like, oh, okay, this is a lot, but there's more. Right? Let's just get on. No, there's more. Forgive us. Maybe easy to say, well, God, you and me, yeah, these are my, it's us again. And if it's us, that means there's something about the way we as a community act that I bear that. That if I see my brother or sister littering, if I see my brother or sister involved in adultery, if I see my brother or sister involved in something, this prayer says there's something about it that you're a part of. The privilege of that relationship of being together means that we call one another into this walk after him. And it can be so beautiful. Our trespasses. Again, there's different words for sin. When we say trespasses, we're putting together the debts, the paroptima, the sins, the other ones, the harmartia, to come together. And it's worth a whole journey on its own. As we forgive others. There's something conditional about it. Have you ever been hurt so bad you don't want to let it go? You don't know how to let it go. It's defined you. It's been the way in which you see the world. It's through the way in which that one person did that to you. There's something about being in the community of God where you say, that's not my identity anymore. We can let it go. We can be together. For Lord knows that's how we need to be. In fact, Jesus says 7 times, 70 times, forgive one another, because if you're around me enough, you know that I mess up a lot. But God's grace allows us to come back together again. There's been times where we've said unkind things in our lives, but God's grace allows you to be here. This act of joining God in forgiveness is what allows the church to thrive. This forgiveness, we are a community of forgiveness. And lead us not into temptation. Right? We're not called to go forth and be martyrs. We are. The word martyr means witness or to testify. We're called to go forth. But the way in which we use it now, where I am going to seek out something that will make me be persecuted. No, God says avoid those. Right? Be salt and light. You want to find a way to being in this world where you're helping people see the good news, not standing at obstinance against them. And realizing those times of trial, though they refine and they make beautiful diamonds and they make beautiful gems, they also trip a lot of people up, and we should not seek it out. Rejoice that we don't have temptations, just as we give thanksgiving when we are in temptations. But deliver us from evil, or the evil one. The word there is such that you can go either way in the Greek. And realizing there's a force in this world against God's will. And that we want to be square in His. For thine is the power and the glory forever. A phrase that's not at the end, but it's the same way when you close out a letter, you sign it different ways. It's something that people would just offer up, just a joyous account of recognizing this is who our God is, and we get to participate in this. It's our Lord's Prayer, the prayer of our Master, and it is masterful. But maybe you need yet another way to hear it. So I invite you to pay attention.
Ooh. I've had my 6th cup of coffee. Guess it's time to spend some time with the Lord. Let me get focused. Our Father.
Yes.
Don't interrupt me. I'm trying to pray here.
But you called me.
Called you? I did not call anyone. I was praying. Our Father who art in heaven.
There. You did it again.
Did what?
Called me. You said, Our Father who art in heaven. Here I am. What's on your mind?
Well, I obviously didn't mean anything by it. I was just saying my prayers for the day. Like, I always say the Lord's Prayer. I guess it kind of makes me feel good, like I did the right thing.
All right, go on.
Hallowed be thy name.
Hold on. What do you mean by that?
By what?
Hallowed be thy name.
It means, good grief. How should I know what it means? I mean, it could be about Halloween, for all I know. It's just part of the prayer. But, do you know what it means?
It means honored, holy, and wonderful.
Oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I never really thought about what that word meant. All right. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Do you really mean that?
Well, of course I do.
What are you going to do about it?
Do? I'm not going to do anything, I guess. I mean, I just think it would be good if you finally got control of things down here like you have up there. That'd be great.
Have I got control of you?
I go to church.
That isn't what I asked you. What about your bad temper? You really got a problem with that, you know.
Okay, please don't pick on me. I mean, I'm clearly just as good as some of those other people at church.
Excuse me? But I thought you were praying for my will to be done. If that is to happen, it has to start with the ones who you are praying for, like you, for example.
Okay, fine. I probably have a few hang-ups. Now that you mention it, I might could think of a few others.
So could I.
I haven't really thought about it that much until now. I guess it would be good to cut some of those things out of my life. I mean, maybe kind of feel free from them. That'd be great.
Good. Now we're getting somewhere. We'll work together. You and I, victories can be won. I'm proud of you.
Okay, look, Lord. Like, I gotta go to work. I need to finish up here. This is taking a little bit longer than normal, so if we could just move on. Give us this day our daily bread.
You need to cut out bread. You're a little overweight as it is.
Hey! Wait a minute! What is this? Pick on me day? Here I am, just trying to do my religious duty, saying the Lord's Prayer 3 times a day as required, and all of a sudden you break in and start reminding me of everything I don't do right.
Praying is dangerous. You could end up changed, you know. That's what I'm trying to bring across you. You called me, here I am. It's too late to stop now. Keep praying. I'm interested in the next part of your prayer.
Well,
go on.
I'm a little afraid.
Scared of what?
I think I know what you're going to say.
Try me and see.
Okay. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors.
What about Peter Brown?
See? I knew you were going to bring him up. Lord, he lied to everyone about me, ruined my reputation, and he took that money. You know he's the one that took it, and he will never give it back. Ooh, I'm going to get even with him.
But your prayer. What about your prayer?
I did not mean it.
Well, at least you're honest, but it's not much fun carrying around that load of bitterness inside, is it?
No, but I'm certain I would feel better when I get even. Have I got a few plans for Peter?
You won't feel any better. You'll feel worse. Revenge isn't sweet. Think of how unhappy you are, but I'll change all of that.
You will?
Forgive Peter, then I'll forgive you. The hate and sin, it will be Peter's problem and not yours. You may lose the money, but you have settled your heart.
Yeah, that doesn't sound very easy. But I guess I could try. Thanks, Lord. Thanks for helping me work through this. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Friends, God calls us to prayer. This isn't a religious duty. It is the privilege of being centered on the King of the universe. To do this, we need to be in a community of forgiveness. If you have anything on your heart that still weighs you down, know that Jesus still reaches out for you wherever you are today. Maybe it's been a long time. Maybe you thought I only needed to repent once. Maybe for some of us, we never really meant it. Jesus is available. Jesus teaches us this prayer so that we can continue in it for the rest of our lives in this journey. To repent and believe the good news. To repent and be a part of a community of forgiveness. To repent and to be a part of this earth-breaking, shalom-making movement of the kingdom of God in our neighborhood, in our homes, in our world. This prayer invites us each day to recenter ourselves on this and so much else. In a moment here, we're going to offer ourselves online through texting to give, through as you leave, putting your offerings in the plates. I hope that as you think about offering, that you realize there's something about giving of yourself that you have to depend on daily bread. Because if we didn't believe that God was going to give us our daily bread, we would hold on to that silo. We would hold on to that fun. We would hold on to it because that's what gave us strength, or we receive. There's something radical about being willing to be part of a community that gives, of the time, to serve, of our attention to discipleship, and of our love to God and one another. Friends, if the reflection comes up on the screen, I invite you in this time of offering to pray, to invite God to pray over all the distractions that are around us, but to think about what he's been inviting us to all this time. So when we think about the prayer of the Master, let it not just be something that showed up in history and we memorized in confirmation, but a reality in our lives as we go up to God and out to others and live in the beauty of what's possible in God's kingdom. Let us pray. God, we thank you. God, we form those thoughts and those cries and those prayers in our hearts before you. Those people who are far from you, Lord, draw them near. And for anywhere today who are hurting, God, let us pray this prayer together and over them as we seek you. Amen.